These are exciting times for cricket in Ireland. 2 weeks ago, Owen Morgan from Rush, County Dublin, captained England to win the one-day cricket World Cup. Then, last Wednesday in London, Ireland began their first ever test match against England in dramatic style. England were bowled out for a record low score of 85 before the break for lunch. A test game is normally scheduled to last 5 days. There are now 12 test-playing countries. A country must be awarded first-class status by the International Cricket Council to be eligible to play test cricket. Ireland was awarded first-class status in 2017 in recognition of the fine displays it's given in shorter forms of the game over the past 20 years. Cricket traditionalists say that test cricket is the purest form of the game. They say that watching a five-day test is akin to reading a great novel. The fortunes of both teams rise and fall as the sun winds its way across the sky each day. Modern life has taken from this view of the five-day test. Many now see test cricket as being too long and boring. In a world of tweets and Instagram, shorter forms of the game, versions that last one day or less, are now the popular choice. And that may be so, but for Ireland to be awarded first-class status means our country has taken its place at the top table of the sport. What is not well known is that test cricket status could have been achieved a long time ago. Back in the 1880s, Ireland might have become one of the great powers of international cricket if only two members of the Central Council of the GAA had voted differently one Saturday afternoon. On that forgotten day, the founder of the GAA, Michael Cusick, himself a former cricket player and admirer of the game, made a bid to have cricket included as an official sport of the Gaelic Athletic Association. The proposal was defeated by 8-6 after a debate. Just imagine Kilkenny's Henry Shefflin, all padded up, dressed in white, striding out to bat for Ireland. Or Dublin speedy halfback James McCarthy hurtling in and bowling at 100 miles an hour to some unfortunate England batsman who can only lean back out of the way as the ball whizzes past his nose. Michael Cusick, a rotund bearded man with an impressive presence, imagined this. And if he had won the vote that day, the shape of Croke Park today itself might be more rotund than square. Over in England at that time, there was another rotund bearded man who had just as big an aura and presence as the founder of the GAA. His name was William Gilbert Grace, and he was known simply as WG. He was then, and still is, regarded by many as the greatest cricket player of all time. WG was a paradox. His skill with the bat and his devastating bowling represented everything that was good about cricket to the upper classes of Victorian England. He was a doctor. The fact that he played cricket as an amateur was a major fillip to the cricketing gentry. Professional players were at that time gaining a strong foothold in the game. And yet, for all his style and his amateur status, WG was no gentleman Jim. He knew his worth. And knowing it as he did meant he exploited his talent as well as any professional player. When WG Grace played a game, it often meant the admission fee increased from 3 pence to 6 pence. So WG demanded an appearance fee. As a practicing doctor, he claimed these fees were legitimate expenses. He famously demanded and received a fee of £1,500 for touring Australia with England in 1874. The professional players were given a fee of £200 for the same tour. As WG's reputation grew through the years, so did his ability to bully and intimidate both umpires and opposition players. He was, it's said, never a good loser. Legend has it that once, when an umpire gave him out, he refused to leave the field. He boldly stood his ground and told the umpire, "The people have come to see me bat, not to see you umpire." W.G. Grace played in Ireland on a number of occasions. He made his last appearance in 1903, playing for the London Cricket Club. London played Trinity College in Dublin and then travelled to Cork to play the Gentlemen of Ireland at the Mardyke Cricket Grounds. It was here, at the home of the Cork County Cricket Club, the bearded wonder was finally taught how to behave on a cricket field. A large crowd attended the Mardyke that day. London batted first. Grace strode to the middle of the field and prepared to face the Irish bowling. All seemed normal when he scored one run off the first ball. His batting colleague then scored one run off the next ball, which brought WG back to bat again. It was then that calamity struck the great WG. The bowler bowled a difficult ball to Grace. The best WG could do was to pop the ball into the air, and an Irish fielder took a clean catch. The umpire raised his finger to signal that WG Grace was out. Grace threw a tantrum. He refused to leave the field, claiming the catch was unfair. The umpire stood his ground too. "Out," he repeated. The stalemate was broken when Cork County Cricket Club member Sir George Coldhurst, of Blarney Castle fame, walked onto the field and had some strong words with the stubborn cricketer. What exactly he said to Grace, we will never know. But after this exchange, Coldhurst and a chastened Grace were seen to walk together from the field, with Grace apologising to the umpire and the bowler as he left. A lot has happened since WG Grace and Michael Cusick changed the sporting landscape of Ireland and England over 130 years ago. I wonder if those two robust, vociferous and bearded gentlemen who dedicated so much of their lives to sport ever foresaw a test like we've had over the last few days, when the Ireland and England cricket teams finally tested their skills against each other in the highest form of the game.